Chapter 11 A Most Dangerous Game. À peine une heure plus tard, Arthur enfilait des genouillères par-dessus l'uniforme militaire qui lui avait été donné pour la séance de paintball. The Army's helpless battle dress was a bit too big for him, so he rolled up the sleeves. He was also equipped with goggles to protect his eyes, like all the other participants, and of course he had a weapon, a machine gun look-alike, capable of spitting 100 painted balls per minute. It was still early afternoon, the sun was shining, and most of the Pixel staff had gathered in the woods near the gates. All of Arthur's friends were there, Tony, the big bearded guy, Jean, and even Anna, although the young woman seemed far less enthusiastic than most of her male colleagues. I shouldn't be here, she kept saying. I have too much work to do. You need to relax, just like everybody else, Tony replied. A tall man with short hair who looked like a Marine Corps officer, most probably the referee, was finishing explaining the rules. If you're hit on the legs or on the arms, you can go on playing. But if the paint mark is on your chest, your back, or your head, you will be considered as dead and the game is over for you. It's not a team job today, okay? You're all on your own. The winner is the last player without a lethal mark. Any questions? No questions. Tous les joueurs semblaient avoir compris les règles exposées par l'arbitre. There was a moment of quiet, like the calm before a storm. And then the referee blew his whistle and everybody dispersed. With his goggles on, Arthur was under the impression he was playing one of those video games where you see the action through the character's eyes, a sort of first-person point of view. Low branches lashed at his face, but he didn't care. His heart was beating in his ears, like a drum. He held onto his gun with a firm grip. 10 minutes later, totally exhausted, Arthur sank down behind a big dead tree trunk, almost buried. The sun filtered through the thick branches in a symphony of greens and yellows. Arthur decided to take a short break. Il se tint quelques instants sans bouger, protégé par le tronc d'arbre mort. He was so excited his senses tuned to a peak. Blood pulsed through his veins. He felt like a particularly efficient piece of machinery, and the sensation was exhilarating. He could hear gunshots in the distance. It was clear that the game had really begun. The sound of firing was almost disappointing, more like firecrackers than real weapons. Mais quand Arthur se risqua à sortir la tête de l'abri naturel derrière lequel il s'était caché, il entendit un sifflement et un morceau d'écorce explosa à 10 centimètres de son visage. What? A second projectile burst past his nose like a mad insect, and he flung himself face first on the ground, breathing in the smell of fresh earth. Incredible! It was a real bullet, and not a harmless paintball. It had hit the tree trunk. If it hadn't been for his goggles, a fragment of wood could have injured his eyes. No doubt about it. After the fire 2 nights ago, somebody was once again trying to kill him. Adrenaline and fear coursed through his veins. His heart was pounding hard enough to break out of his ribcage. He hadn't heard any clear shots, which meant the killer must be using a silencer. Whizz! Clack! Another piece of the tree trunk flew up near Arthur. This time, the shot had come from his right, meaning that the sniper was on the move, trying to shoot him from behind. He began to crawl to the left, his elbows and knees moving like pistons. À quelques mètres de l'extrémité du tronc, il avait remarqué un bouquet d'épais buissons. There was quite a distance to cover without protection, but it was worth trying. He had to get away from the killer. He started a mental countdown. 3, 2, 1, go! Il vit le massif se rapprocher encore. Puis, sans transition, la végétation l'avala. Succession de gifles griffus, de halètements sourds, d'ombre et de lumière alternées, à un tempo presque stroboscopique. Arthur courait comme jamais il n'avait couru de sa vie. Le taillis s'ouvrit. Il déboucha dans une clairière, se prit les pieds dans une racine traîtresse, trébucha, se releva, la peur chevillée au ventre tel un puissant combustible, et il repartit de plus belle, le souffle court, douloureux. To his right, he saw a large natural hole, a place where the collapsing ground had formed a large circle. He desperately needed to hide and recover, so this could be the perfect spot. Drawing on his last dregs of energy, he crossed the distance at full speed and jumped into the hole, completely drained. He needed to warn the others, but a cry for help would have revealed his position to the killer. So what were his options? Indecision fogged the boy's mind. Then he heard a crack of branches to the right. He pointed his so-called gun, even if the piece of plastic couldn't help him a lot.